Good morning. I want to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day today. Today's message concerns mothers. It's leaving a godly legacy. There's nothing more important than leaving a godly legacy for our children. Citizen, a story from Focus on the Family reported that online auction of a mother's touch. Dan Barber honored his mother by posting an auction on eBay titled Best Mother in the World. The winning bidder would receive an email from his mom, Sue Hamilton, that Barber promised would make her feel the most special person on earth. You know, we sung a song earlier, I wish I could hear my mother pray again, but I wish I could hear Terry sing again.
Amen.
There's nothing more important than wishing Terry a happy Mother's Day in heaven today. How did people respond to Barbara's offer? During the auction, 7-day run, 42,711 people, enough to fill most baseball stadium, took a look. 92 bids, pushing the price from a $1 opening to a $610 closing. It's important how many are willing to pay for something most mothers give for free. Moses' mother shared her touch with Moses throughout his life. You remember Moses. All of us remember Moses. Moses was one of the most familiar names in the Bible. In fact, his name is referenced more than 800 times in Scripture. But here's a pop quiz for you. What was Moses' mother's name? How many of you know Moses' mother's name? Her name is not mentioned very many times in Scripture. As a mother, she had left Moses a godly legacy, but like most moms, she doesn't get a lot of recognition or appreciation. Her name is only mentioned twice in Scripture. Her name is Jochebed. Jochebed was Moses' mother's name. To a great extent, a mother's legacy is defined by her children, and Moses wasn't Jochebed's only child. Before Moses, there was Aaron, the older brother, who ended up being Moses' right-hand man when God delivered the Israelite slaves out of Egypt, who was the first high priest. And before Aaron was Miriam, the woman who ended up being one of the worship leaders for the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea. Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. That kind of legacy doesn't happen by accident. If you open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 8. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that it was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags of the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message you've given me this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would give me the voice to speak, and you would give those here ears to hear. We pray, Father, for those that couldn't be here this morning. We pray for the sick. We pray for the elderly. We pray for those in the nursing homes and hospitals. We pray for all those mothers that are left barren without their husbands today. For in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at the life of Jochebed and get a glimpse into the life of this mom who left behind an incredible legacy, and see how our moms can do the same. Number one, she had a positive encouragement for Moses. She was an encouragement to Moses even as he was a child. Exodus 2:2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Jochebed saw that Moses was a fine child. She saw something in him that was beyond normal, and she valued it. In fact, the message paraphrase puts it like this: the woman became pregnant and had a son. She saw that he was something special about him and hid him. She hid him for 3 months. We don't know exactly what Moses' mother said to him, but it is certain from the text that she viewed him as a special child and would have been an encouragement to him. She would have pointed out the positive things about him and encouraged him to grow in the areas where he might come up short. While parents don't want to give their children false praise, they should emphasize the gifts of their children and help them to excel. We don't know, and we don't want to give them a big head. We don't want to give our children a big head, but we don't want to neglect them either. We want to encourage them. We want to develop them into the men and women that God wants them to be. Listen, my friend, there's nothing more important than we give and we leave a godly legacy for our children. This is one of the most important things we can do today. One of the ways a mother leaves a legacy is by telling their children how she feels about them and how God feels about them. She needs to be a positive encouragement to her children. Your children need to know how you feel about them to hear it out loud. Mothers who leave a godly legacy are positive encouragers. Number two, she was an intentional discipler. She discipled Moses. She helped him become the person that she wanted to be. When we are given the gift from God, and we're given the gift of a child from God, you're expected not only to love, feed, and care for them, you're expected to disciple that child to help it grow to be a fully sold out follower of Christ. You're responsible for their spiritual growth and education. Look in Exodus chapter 2, verses 2 through 8. And when the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, it was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And her sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. This was all orchestrated by God.
Amen.
For Moses to have his mother raise him. Even though Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of the water, it was Moses' mother that raised him. It was Moses' mother that taught him how to be a godly man. When Moses was born, it was a bad time to be an Israelite in Egypt. They were slaves. Their workload had just been increased, and Pharaoh had ordered that all male Hebrew babies be killed in order to control the growing population. Think about this. All the male children had been ordered to be killed. All the male children had been ordered by Pharaoh to be slaughtered because he did not want any Hebrew children born in that land. The population was already big enough. He ordered her, and he ordered all of his soldiers to kill every male child that was in that society. Think about that. But Exodus 2:2 says that Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. It took a lot of courage to be a mom in a culture like this. And Exodus 2, 5 through 8 tells the story of how Jochebed finally gave Moses up, only to see God choose to bless her being the one that would raise him. Think about that. God was in this whole thing. God was in her putting her baby in the water. God was in Pharaoh's daughter finding him. God was in everything that orchestrated Moses' mother being able to raise Moses. Think about that for a minute. Through a strange set of circumstances, we're being able to raise Moses for a few more years. And Moses grew up faithful to God, something that would have been possible only if Jochebed was very intentional with limited time she had instilled deep faith in Moses. Think about that. She raised Moses from a child, from a little baby. She got the opportunity to raise Moses herself. And she raised him as a child of God. She raised him with a deep faith in God. She raised him so that he would be the kind of man God wanted him to be. She did not have the opportunity that many mothers have in our culture have today. She didn't raise him from birth to adulthood, but she took the time that she did have and raised him to grow into a godly man. She took discipleship of children seriously enough to give this command. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to show you what the Bible says and what she raised her child by. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt take them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Notice what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says. It talks about raising our children in the ways of God, raising them with the Word of God, raising them to be godly children, and raising them in a godly way. In other words, in everything you do and say, and everywhere you go, instruct your children in the ways of the Lord. Jochebed did this to the best of her ability when time she had with Moses, and it proved fruitful in the life of Moses, as would be seen as he grew into a God-fearing man. The same can be true of our children if we purposely disciple them into children of God. Thirdly, she was a faithful follower of Christ. Hebrew 11 celebrates the faith of many of the giants of the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, we find Moses' parents listed alongside the other heroes. Jochebed's children became who they needed to be, who they did because they had a mother who was more committed to God than she was to them. They saw that and they lived that out. That was her legacy. Hebrews 11:23 says this: by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Notice this. They were not afraid that of the king's commandment to have every male child killed. They were not afraid that Moses would be killed when he was found in that riverbank. She was not afraid to put him and hide him 3 months. Before you can properly raise your kids in the faith, you must focus on your personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And you cannot expect more from your kids in this area than you're facing in your own life. Do you want your kids to be prayer warriors? Then they need to see you praying. If you want your kids to be prayer warriors, you need to be on your knees in prayer before God in front of them. You need to show them you are a prayer warrior. You need to show them that prayer is an important part of your life. You need to show your kids that you are one that worships God in prayer. Do you want your kids to be hardworking in their study of God's Word? Then they need to see you studying it yourself. Do you want your kids to live out what they have learned in the Bible? Then you need to live such a life that you are a godly example to them. What factors could help Christian youth maintain their faith into adulthood? A major research project called the National Study of Youth and Religion found the following 3 facts that I'm going to show you. Number 1, the young person's parents participate in the faith in their home and in daily life, not just in public church settings. Number 2, the young person had at least one significant adult mentor or friend other than their parents who practiced the faith seriously. Number 3, the young person's had at least one significant spiritual experience before the age of 17. In other words, teenagers are most likely to retain their Christian faith into adulthood if they have a meaningful and healthy relationship with parents, a faithful Christian mentor outside of the family, and with God Himself. Unless there are specific adult in the teenager's life who shows the teenager by example and in context of a meaningful long-term relationship, how an adult incorporates Christian faith into daily life, no program, camp, mission trip, youth camp, youth group, worship style, musical trend, Sunday school, church reform will make a significant difference in their life if they don't have a person to help raise them in the faith. This is very important. They need Christian friends. Not just friends, but Christian friends. They need a mentor, somebody to help them reach their full potential. They need their parents working diligently to find that they raised in a godly culture at home. They need all of these things to make them more than they are presently being. Further, to retain their faith into adulthood, young people need to experience God's grace for themselves. It all starts with mom and dad who are willing to be faithful followers of Jesus. This is very important. Your kids need to see that you're a faithful follower of Jesus, that you read God's word, that you pray to Him, that you do everything, and that you live your life as a godly example to them. They need to see that you are interested more in their well-being than you are in their personal stature in life. We realize not everyone has the benefit of a mother or father, but we are speaking to those who are in those roles today. Your child needs more than anything else for you to live out the faith you acknowledge. Everything starts here. Listen, Moses' mom raised him with a godly legacy, and we need to do the same. We need to be all about teaching our children to study their Bible, to be prayer warriors, to pray often, pray before they eat, pray when they get up, pray when they go to bed. We need to teach our children to read God's Word, study God's Word, so they can grow in the faith. We need to teach our children how to be godly parents themselves. We need to teach our children how they can raise their kids and how they can teach their kids to be a godly legacy also. In conclusion, some moms were saying that if you creatively, lovingly raise your kids to know the Lord, you're a hero. You're in God's Hall of Fame. Moms, be certain of this. You will leave a godly legacy. Each day, you're helping to write it and create it. 3 John, verse 4. Turn your Bibles to 3 John, chapter 4. 3 John, verse 4. Excuse me. 3 John, in the back of your Bible. 3 John, verse 4, says this. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Think about that. That should be our joy. That should be all we're concerned about, is our children walk in a godly legacy and they walk according to the Word of God. All of us here, whether we're mothers or fathers, we should be more concerned about whether our children are Christians and they're walking according to God's Word than the stature they have in the business of life. This is very important. Listen, they will be more likely to take that path when a mom's journey is spirit-led and governed by God's honoring decision. That doesn't mean you won't make some mistakes and accidentally take a detour. But God is big enough to make things right and to correct some of our mistakes and redeem our efforts. When it comes to our parenting, God is much more concerned with their direction than He is with your perfection. Listen, God doesn't expect us to be perfect parents. But He does expect us to raise our children to be God-fearing children, to be God-led children, to be God-honoring children. God doesn't expect perfection in your children, but He does expect you to raise your children in such a way that they honor God, they do everything they can to please God. Listen, God specializing in rebuilding, restoring, and redeeming His folks that make mistakes. Let me tell you something, my friend, and this is very important. Moses' mother, Jochebed, she raised Moses with a godly legacy, and Moses became one of the greatest people in the Old Testament when he led the people through the time of his life. When he led the people everywhere that God had called him to lead them. Moses was a godly man. Moses had strong faith. Moses was a God-fearing man. And where did all this come from? It came from his mother, Jochebed. She honored God, she feared God, she worshiped God, and Moses did the same. All of us that are mothers need to raise our children in the same God-honoring way. Listen, my friend, that's what God expects of mothers and fathers today. Yeah. He wants us to raise our children in a godly way. He wants us to raise our children to be God-honoring folks. He wants to raise our children to be God-fearing folks. This is the will of God for parents. And it should be a great joy when our kids are godly, they fear God, they worship God, and they give all their life to God. Listen, my friend, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to come and bring your word this morning. We pray, God, for all the mothers here, that they would be godly examples for their children. They would leave a godly legacy when they die. And Lord, we pray for the fathers as well, that they would be godly parents and that they would raise their kids to see that they study the Word, that they are prayer warriors, and that they live a godly example in front of them. It's all these things we ask in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.